Let me turn this little one on here too. Amen. Well, we have a little more to say about baptism. And I just want to read that one verse from 1 Corinthians 10, which we read last week. And that will get us started on this new one. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Well, let's go the first three verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of the same spiritual meat, and did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. So we're talking about what this verse is that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. Now, that's what we talked about last week. Now, let's go to Acts 19, because there's other baptism unto. And we see that Paul and his companions went into Ephesus. Let's read the first verse here. We're going to take a few verses here. And it came to pass that while the apostles were at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? All right, now they were believers. It's understood they were believers. And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. My goodness, that sounds like a lot of Christians today, a lot of churches. We have not so much as heard if there be a Holy Ghost. Amen. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? So these were baptized believers. Amen. And they said, Unto John's baptism. Now, what was John's baptism? It was baptism unto repentance. So they realized that they had to repent, and they were coming for baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. Amen. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So, we see that these people were baptized not unto Moses, not really unto Christ yet, but unto John. Now, when you're baptized, amen, to be baptized right, you need to be baptized unto Jesus Christ. Now, regardless of whatever words are spoken over you, the purpose of whatever that baptism is what you get baptized unto. Amen? So, I remember, I think I might have mentioned this. Nancy, I don't know if you were at that meeting in Jamaica. Wasn't there a meeting in Jamaica one time? where Brother DeSeal brought this out about baptism. And there were a lot of people that were baptized again. Am I right? I don't remember what year that was. It probably doesn't matter.
2004, because that's
Rita says 2004. Okay.
That's not the kind of
so what happened is most people, when they're baptized in the church, are baptized unto the church. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, their baptism then makes them a member of a certain church. Now, I was rebaptized, but not in Jamaica. I was rebaptized, oh, I must have been 30, I don't know, 32, 33, 34, maybe more than that, 38 years old. I came to realize two things were wrong with my baptism. First of all, they poured the water over me. And of course, there was lots of water on the floor in front of me in the church because it was done in the church. Now, I came to understand that was not baptism. Baptism, the word baptism, is immersion. So when we talk about baptism, we're going to talk about being baptized into Christ today. All right? Not unto Moses, not unto John, but into, whatever word you want to use, into Christ. So you're going to be immersed into Christ. All right? So getting back to the water baptism, first of all, it was done wrong. I was not immersed. Secondly, I realized that I was baptized into membership of the Mennonite Church. So you see, when the Catholic priest takes these little babies and so-called baptizes them, which I really don't think he does. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I just hear that he sprinkles a little water on them and puts a little salt on them or something like that. I don't know what all he does. Says some words. At any rate, spiritually, they now become in bondage to the Roman to the spirit of the Roman Catholic Church. In other words, their parents bring them in and sacrifice them to Moloch, the equivalent of sacrificing them to Moloch. Okay, so here's the believers, and they were rebaptized, and by the way, the word Anabaptist, what it really means is rebaptizers. And this is where they got that name in the 1500s, when they began to come into the truth of the Word of God. They began to understand that having been baptized in the Roman Catholic Church as babies was not true baptism. And so they were rebaptizers, and they were named Anabaptists, okay? Rebaptizers. So these people in Ephesus, Paul baptized them again, amen, and then he laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, by the way, I was rebaptized in an Assembly of God church, but I wasn't rebaptized unto membership of the Assembly of God Church. I just asked the brethren, I said, look, I need to be rebaptized. Will you do it? They had a tank behind there, and they said, okay, and they rebaptized me. My mind was not in becoming a member of that church. Okay, so baptized unto Christ. Now let's see what Mark has to say about this. Mark chapter 10. Here we are, Mark chapter 10, and let's look at verse 38 and 39. Now, you know the story here. This is the same thing that's in Matthew 20, but we're going to read it out of Mark this time. Well, we'll go back to 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Actually, it was their mother that brought this up. Amen? But Mark is just reporting that James and John want. Well, they did want it. They did want it, or their mother wouldn't have brought it up. Amen? And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. In other words, in the fullness of your kingdom. And Jesus said unto them, Now listen to this. Ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? What was the cup? Father. Father, what did he pray in the garden? If you can take this cup from me. He knew what was coming. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. Suffering. Are you able to drink of my cup? Well, that's a question. Are we able? Well, if we want to be baptized into Christ, that may be part of what we're going to have to go through. All right, baptized, drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. So, are you willing to be immersed into Christ, baptized into him? So they asked. They said, we can. Now, they didn't know what they were saying, of course. They just thought that was the right answer. Yes, we can. And he said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. So, are we ready to be baptized into Christ? Now, let's see what Romans has to say about this. And by the way, why am I saying this? Why am I saying that we should seek to be baptized into Christ? Why? Because the baptism in water is an outer court experience. The baptism in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, is an outer court experience. I was still in the outer court when hands were laid on me, amen, by brethren that were praying for me, and I immediately spoke in tongues. But I was still in the outer court. I still had not come into the baptism into Christ. But it was a great experience. I mean, I was very blessed. And I would do it again 100 times. All right. We're going into Romans 6 now. And the first 6 verses. Okay. What shall I say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Amen. Did you know that's what you were signing up for? You're being baptized into his death. Amen. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know what? I was telling
We are buried with him, verse
Verse 4, we are buried with him. You said baptized with him.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Baptized.
I'm sorry, I misread that. Thank you, brother. Yes, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, my memory goes back to when I was 10 years old. I can't believe this, that I'm actually remembering this. When the brother, the minister, poured the water on my head, this is the verse that he read. It comes back to me now. You know, I didn't understand it, but I do remember that that word was read, okay? So we are baptized into, it says, into Jesus Christ, and we are baptized into his death. Now, it reminds me of the word that I heard the Lord say, and I'm going to read it in Colossians. It was when I was having my heart attack in 2002, I believe it was, in October. And Janet is driving me down to the hospital. And I said, Lord, I'm in trouble. I don't know what the trouble is, but I know I'm in trouble. Will you tell me, when a man is in trouble, he can hear from you? And Lord, I pray that you speak to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me so loud. I mean, I thought that Janet should surely hear, because it was so loud, but she didn't hear it. But here's what I heard: for you are dead. That's all I heard. Going to the hospital, dying. Actually, I was dying. And the Lord said, for you are dead. Now, I know that that had to be the Lord. My own flesh would never say a thing like that, would never tell myself that I'm dying or dead. I would hear a word in my wanted to hear, oh, my son, thou art healed in the name of the Lord. Just rise up in faith, you know, something like that. But that isn't what I heard. So I'm laying in that emergency room, and they're working over me, and they've got IV running in me and magic potions and what have you. And I hear them call my name. And I open my eyes, and I'm looking at the nurse, and I'm saying, why are you yelling my name? I'm thinking. And she told me later, because we thought you were dead. We didn't know you were still alive. And it was just a test. Well, I'm saying to the Lord, I'm saying, Lord, I'm not dead. What do you mean I'm dead? I mean, I can hear these doctors and nurses yelling and calling at one another. Why, what do you mean by this, that I'm dead? And then I said, Lord, isn't there something more in that verse in Colossians? And then the Lord brought this back to me, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And your life. So you are buried with him, amen, buried with him, baptized unto his death. Now, brethren, you cannot have resurrection power until you have experienced death. How many of you want resurrection power? Amen. How many of you want power to raise the dead? How many of you want power to heal, open the blind eyes? Amen. Whatever it is, you want that power. Well, that's resurrection power. Amen. But you can't have resurrection until you've had death. And so we are baptized unto his death. And of course, in that death is death to sin, death to self. Amen. So the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, We're still in the outer court, are we not? But the baptism into Christ is now coming into the holy place. Brother Mark, why do you keep doing this? Why do you keep talking this way? Because I don't want us to live and spend our days in the outer court. I want us to be holy place people. I want me to be a holy place person. Because, you know, there's coming a day, and a day very soon, when that veil is going to be removed, and we will no longer be held in a holy place, but we will be a holy of holies people. Is that not what the song that we sang this morning? Bring me into the holy of holies. Let me be in front of the mercy seat, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so now let's go to, and let's read verse 11 in this Romans. Yes. I got to find Romans again. Yeah, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when we reckon ourselves to be dead, nobody can threaten us with death. How many of you remember Henry Groover? Yeah, you do, Mike. Do you remember his testimony of when he was in England and he got into, there were some very bad men. I think he was in England somewhere, in London somewhere. You know, brethren, there are bad places in London. There are. So his calling was he was walking, just walking the world, spreading, you know, what he believes, spreading the presence of the Lord. He got in with these evil men, and they told him they were going to kill him. I think they were trying to rob him or something. And he said, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." And somehow, just the power of that word, just the power of that word, these men fled. They just ran. I don't know what the power of that word was, but you can't kill me, I'm already dead. So, Satan, what is the last weapon? What is the best weapon that Satan would have against us? I mean, what is the worst thing that could happen to us? You don't do this, you don't do that, I'll kill you. Evil men come, threaten you. Do this, do that, or I kill you. What do you say? Well, what did the three Hebrew brethren say to Nebuchadnezzar? Well, my God is able to save me. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow to your idol. No, I will not give in to you. Take my life if you want it. I'm already dead in Christ. All right, so let's go to Galatians. Galatians. Here we are. Galatians chapter 3, 27. We can read a few verses around this so we get the context of it. Starting 23, I guess. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. In other words, we were under Moses. Shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Well, let's go to the next couple verses. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, what does into Christ mean? Into means you are immersed in Christ. Every bit of you is covered by Jesus Christ. There is not anything in your soul, your emotions, your will, your desires, your mind. Nothing is outside of Christ. So, a man can baptize you in water. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has to baptize you into Christ. And when you are in Christ, you don't go where you want to go. You don't do what you want to do. You don't say what you'd like to say. What did Jesus say? He said that everything that he says, he hears the Father say it. Can we be like that? Amen. All right. Now let's go into 1 Corinthians. Another verse in 1 Corinthians. Okay? And this time we're going to go into chapter 12. And verse 3, oh, wait a minute, chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So if we're being baptized into Christ, we're being baptized into a body of many members. Okay? For by one Spirit, see, it is by the Spirit that we are baptized into one body, which is the body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. In other words, God is only coming for one bride, not a Jewish bride, not a Gentile bride, one body. Amen? Whether we be bond or free, that word bond means slaves. You know, there was a lot of slavery going on yet at the time of the Romans. But you know what? This word was for the slaves as well. They could come into Christ equal with any other. Hallelujah. Bond or free, and had been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, what was the word that we found back there in Exodus? They were all under the cloud. They were all in the sea. And later it came that they all drank from that same rock, which was Jesus. So here we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this is a true definition of the body of Christ. Amen? For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, we'll leave it there. So, let's talk about eating spiritual food. Amen? Eating the same food. Now, in the wilderness, they ate the same manna, the same food. So they were baptized into one. They ate the same bread. They drank the same water. In other words, it was by the Spirit. They were one in the Spirit. Hallelujah. John 6, let's read what Jesus said in verse 26. Jesus answered, well, let's just start in 26. Jesus answers and said unto them, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Okay, the miracle of the 5,000 being fed. He said, "You just like the bread. I mean, you're looking for a free meal here. This is what you guys are after. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now here are the people. They're looking for a works salvation. How many people today are believing that they have to do a certain works in order to please God? These people were asking, what works shall we do? Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." What's that mean? Lord, we want to do something. Well, here's what you can do. You can believe. But that isn't what we had in mind. We want to do something that we can, you know, be recognized and help some other people. No, your main work is you believe. Amen? And they said unto him, let me see now, how far are we going to go in this? John. Okay. And they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Then they go on, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." In other words, it was still natural bread. It wasn't spiritual, but you all had the same thing. Amen? "Not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." What's he talking about? Who is he talking about? Amen? Well, let's just go down through here and read a little bit. "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." See, they're still thinking carnal. They still want something to eat in the natural. You know, we don't have to work very hard. Just have that bread. It's always there in the cupboard. You know, we'd like something like that. "Then said he unto them," okay, "and then Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." Amen. "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven. Heaven is a higher spiritual realm. Amen. I came down into the carnal, natural realm. Amen. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he giveth me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up against the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this the Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? So they were not ready to believe. He's just the natural man. I mean, he's the guy that worked in the carpentry shop there with his father, isn't he? Carnal thinking, carnal men. Amen. Therefore Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, I was talking to a lady, I don't know, maybe a month ago. I don't know why she brought this up. But she said, you know, my mother was a very devout Catholic. I mean, she went to Mass, she was baptized a baby, she confirmation, she took it all in, and she was a good woman. Are you going to tell me that she can't make heaven? Well, all I can say is Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father. There is no way except through Jesus Christ. Okay. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What is the work that we shall do? Believe. That's quite a work, isn't it? That's a very difficult work for some people. Amen? I am the bread of life. He's saying it again. He keeps repeating it in this chapter. Let's read on. For your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. Manna, that kind of food, no, that isn't going to give you everlasting life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. He's talking about himself. This is the bread that came down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. Hallelujah. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot this week. I've been thinking about eternity. You know, I don't know, maybe when you get up into your 80s, you start thinking that way. Statistically, you look at the numbers, you say, well, there's not many men live many more years beyond this. What's coming beyond this? But you know, there are still people that have not considered that. Older people, they've not all considered. And I think they need to be brought to the question, where will you be after you pass on? Will you have eternal life? And you know, think about eternity. You've lived a long time. Maybe you're 60. You think you've lived a long time already. You know what? You haven't even begun. It's barely a blink, a flash of eternity. It goes on and on and on and never ends. Heaven or hell? Which one? Amen? Now let's go down 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now that's spiritual talk. Nobody's going to go over and cut a piece of his flesh off and eat it, drain a little blood out of his veins and drink it. And by the way, he died. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, dwelleth in me. In other words, is immersed in me, is baptized into me. So, in the baptism into Christ is not just a being in a place, but it's an eating and drinking. And where is that eating taking place? In the outer court? No. In the Holy of Holies at the table of showbread. So are we a holy place people, or are we an outer court people? See, the problem with being in the outer court is when midnight comes, the outer court is going to be the foolish virgin. And you're going to miss it. The others are going to go in with the bridegroom, and the door will be shut. Well, let me read a little bit of the rest of this here. This, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Amen. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Okay, I read that. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is a difficult saying. We don't understand this. Amen? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, now we're talking about the 12. Amen? He said unto them, does this offend you? And what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Well, they did see that, didn't they? Amen? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So here's the key to everything he said in this chapter. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. I mean, you can cut pieces of my flesh off. You can say, drain my blood and drink it. It profits nothing. Now you see, this is the lie in the Catholic Church. When the priest blesses that wine, he says it becomes the literal, actual DNA blood of Jesus Christ, and that he's going to drink. In other words, he's made another sacrifice. The book in Hebrews clearly says many times, 2, 3, 4 times, that he sacrificed once and for all, never again. Amen? This is a lie. You know, sometime if I ever encounter a priest that tells me that, which it will probably never happen because I don't visit with priests, but if I ever get a chance, I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to say, okay, you believe that you made that actual cup of wine, you believe you actually made it into the actual blood of Jesus Christ. You believe that you made that little wafer into the actual flesh of Jesus Christ. I challenge you. Send that into the laboratory and have it tested and see if there's any human DNA in that sample. Prove it to me, because it can't be done. It's a lie that is spread, and it's got the people the people, shall I say, believing that lie, and they believe when they go to Mass that they are partaking of the life, the blood, the flesh of Jesus Christ. They believe that that's the way they're going to get eternal life and natural life as well. It's a lie. Amen? It's a lie from hell. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more. So we're talking about the spiritual drink and the spiritual, let's stick with the spiritual drink here for a while. Now, Exodus 17 again. Let's go back to Exodus. Exodus 17, the first 6 verses again here. Amen. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and there shalt thou smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. What happened? And that rock was Christ. Amen? And that rock followed them. And that rock was Christ. So they didn't know it, but they were drinking a natural drink, but it really was a spiritual drink. Amen? The rock. Mention that rock again in Numbers 20. Why don't we just take a quick look at that in Numbers But this time, Moses didn't obey. Verse 7 and 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak thee unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and the beasts. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have spoken, which I have given them. I'm sorry. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Moses disobeyed. What was the problem? It worked the first time. Should work the second time. Well, it did work, but he disobeyed. Why? Because that rock was Christ. Christ will only be smitten once. Only once. And he hit it again. He hit it twice, in fact. No, the Catholic priest cannot sacrifice Jesus Christ every time he has a mass. Sometime you should read that book of Shanique, the man from Canada. What was his name? Shanique, I guess, was the priest. He was a Catholic priest. He believed this with all his heart. He believed that he actually had made the wafer and the wine into the actual Jesus Christ. Well, he was on a journey. This is before the days of cars, way back in the 1800s. He was in snow riding a sleigh. Something happened that his little box of wafers fell off and got lost in the snow. He was just terrified that he had done something terrible to Jesus Christ. That poor fellow, you ought to read this whole book. It is a great little book of how this dear man came out of Roman Catholicism and came to believe in the truth. Man actually met Abraham Lincoln. Amen. Or I should say Abraham Lincoln defended him one time when the Catholic Church was going after him in Illinois. Well, enough of that. One more thing about the water. Go to Judges chapter 7. I don't know. I would just felt that I should read this in the book of Judges. Water, drinking water, spiritual water. How do we drink? How do we take in spiritually? Do we take the spiritual drink? Do we take the spiritual meat? How did it happen in the days of Gideon? Chapter 7, verse 4. Go back to chapter 7. Okay. And so there were now 22,000. There remained 10,000, okay, of Gideon's army. And the Lord said unto Gideon, in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water. So they're going to be tested by water again, by their drinking. Amen? And I will try them there for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down, So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, in other words, they brought the water up with their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. How were these 300, Gideon 300? Amen. You know, brethren, I like to think that we're the Gideon 300 people. Amen. The sons of God, Gideon 300. How were they tested? By their choice of drinking. In other words, it seems to me when you're in the realm of the enemy, you bring the water up and you can see. Your eyes are still up. You can still see when you're drinking the water. You go down, you put your face down, your eyes are down almost in the water too. You can't see anything down there. You don't know what you're drinking. You just drink. You can't see it. Amen. Careful what we drink and how we drink. One last verse in Jeremiah. Kind of a strange little verse, but I think Jeremiah said something that we ought to hear. Jeremiah chapter 2, way back in the beginning of Jeremiah. And you know, Jeremiah was speaking the word of the Lord. He was speaking about God's people. And Jeremiah says in chapter 2, in verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Isn't this what Jesus was saying? I am the fountain of living water. Jeremiah said it way back. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Well, what were they drinking? They've forsaken the Lord? And have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Wrong kind, they were drinking the wrong thing, and what they did have didn't even hold true. Amen. I think that's enough for today. So let me turn the recording off. Let me see.